Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you here today. It's the day after. We can't call her Miss Russell anymore, right? But the day after Miss Russell's wedding. We do have a handout with today's date on it. And so we should be ready to go. And we have a song attached with what we're going to be dealing with. It's out of our old hymnal, although it's in our new one as well. But I chose the one out of our old one. And what we're dealing with is kind of a sequel to what we did last week. And of course, no one remembers what we did last week, so I'll tell you about that briefly. Last week was Father's Day, and we had talked about how, you know, David had all of these goals and desires and even, you know, promises from God that were not going to be fulfilled in his life. And so it was about him praying to God and saying, God, fulfill all that you have decreed, and knowing that his son Solomon was the one who was going to fulfill them. And so David was required to pray for and to actually do things that broadened his scope, and he was praying into existence God's bigger plan. And so if you look at the title of today's Trusting God's Greater Plan, it's kind of the same thing, only this time we're not talking about the change that comes when we recognize that, hey, our view has to be bigger, and this is not going to happen in my lifetime, and it's going to go to my son. This is the change that can inspire us when we recognize that our ministry circumstances change. And it's about Paul being in prison. And Paul's attitude about him being prison really opens up an entirely different avenue for him to ministry that, you know, he did not anticipate. And who would? And who would think that going to prison could actually turn out to be something really good? So Paul is not dealing with a son. He's dealing with a sentence here. And so this song is an appeal to God to make us a blessing, whether our vision has to be bigger, in the sense that it lives beyond me and it goes to my son, or his plan is greater and my ministry, your ministry, is going to change with different circumstances in your life. Who would deny that Miss Russell's ministry is changing, right? Changing overnight, right? One day she's this and the next day she's something else. So make me a blessing is about God using us in our various stations and callings in life. So let's stand together and sing this old chorus type song. Out of the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine, make me a blessing. O Savior, I pray, make me a blessing to someone today. Tell the sweet story of Christ and his love. Tell of his power to forgive. Others will trust him if only you prove true every moment you live. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine, make me a blessing. O Savior, I pray, make me a blessing to someone
today. Give as was given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today.
Wow. Maybe we should have sang like, make me a soprano or something like that, right? Yikes, that's got a low note and a couple of high notes there, right? It has both. Praise be. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your grace today. And we ask during this Sunday school time that indeed you would continue to shape us as we know that you will, and help us to embrace, Lord, the shape of those changes that you make in our life. We thank you for this essay here. We thank you for its applicability for all of us here. We thank you for what we did last week, where David needed to change his focus from himself to his son, and today, Paul, from being a free man to someone who is in prison. And the ministry change that was required of him for that. And the ministry changes that comes with every change in the seasons of our life. So we pray that you would help us. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good singing. Except for those three notes, right? The really low one and then those other two high ones there. Wow. That was quite a range. So, yeah, we're looking at Paul's addition, I would say, or version or sequel to what we did last week with David's bigger story. Again, this is from Lori Short in her book about these 40 verses where she investigates various things that we have a tendency to perhaps just skip over, and it's trusting in the greater plan. And this one begins in Philippians 1 and 12, and Paul says this, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. And what had happened to him was he was thrown in prison. And that has advanced the gospel. It advanced the gospel in his lifetime, but one of the things I want us to be considering here is think about how it has advanced the gospel throughout all of history. The fact that he was put into prison, we would say, gee, my life is over with. You know, at least I used to be able to go out and talk to a gathering of 15 people or 50 people or maybe even 5,000 people or 50,000 people. Paul from prison has been able to speak to untold hundreds of thousands of people through his letters because he went to prison. That's what he's talking about here. What has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. And oh, by the way, the scriptures tell us that, you know what? Paul wasn't any really great shakes in terms of his personal ability to communicate verbally. His letters were weighty and they were powerful. And God actually uses the gifting that he had long ordained and given to Paul by putting him into prison. Paul had the most powerful testimony of all the early church Christ followers. The man who had formerly sought their death had turned and become a Christ follower himself. I imagine crowds gathered when they heard Paul was sharing his experience. Many lives had already been changed by the words that he spoke, but the powerful ministry that Paul had now was constrained by a prison sentence. And I have a little out on the column there. This is real prison. This is not what we think of today when we think of prison, right? You know, you get to watch TV, you know, you can go to college if you want, you go to the library, you go out into the courtyard. This is prison, prison. This is like the stuff of dungeons, right? And there's water on the floor and rats are rolling around and they're biting at your ankles. Real prison. And he's saying that this has turned out to advance the gospel. The lives he could continue to touch were limited now to those who were within the reach of his chain. And he would have people come in, visit him. Not too many. Nevertheless, Paul somehow had the perspective in this verse to see his imprisonment as an advancing of the gospel. And he proclaimed these words before having any idea just how true they would actually be. When our circumstances are limited and discouraging, our natural impulse is to fight against them. Anybody here ever done anything like that? Right? To ask the question is to answer it, right? That's what we normally and naturally do. Paul suggests, however, that if we trust God's sovereign plan, there is another response. Paul looks beyond the frustration of his limitations to what could be happening because of his imprisonment. Because his circumstances, his station has changed. And with that perspective, he is able to see beyond his immediate circumstances to what God might be doing with him while he is there. This perspective shift can be life-changing to our faith. Because instead of just praying to get out of this situation, we become focused on what God is doing in them. Boy, there are often times when all we want to do is get out instead of seeing what God is doing in them. Anybody here ever have that kind of situation? We can pray for our circumstances to change, but Paul encourages us to spend our energy and time on what God may want us to do while we are here. This perspective allows Paul not only to witness to the prisoners and the guards assigned to him, but to write letters. Now, we know that Paul did some other letter writing here, and in a minute, I'm going to tell you just how pervasive his letter writing was while in prison. He was able to write letters to encourage the churches he could no longer visit. And you know what? Death visits every man, right? He's no longer going to be in the flesh, but his letters have lived on. We are here now 2,000 years later, and we get to read his letters because he was in prison. Had Paul not gone to prison, the New Testament might look different. And again, there's, you know, God's in charge of all these. Because he would have been visiting churches instead of being limited to writing to them. But writing to them has turned out towards the advance of the gospel. What Paul could see was that because of his imprisonment, others were encouraged to speak the word of God more fearlessly. He saw that. He writes about that in verse 14 of Philippians. What Paul couldn't see was that God would do with his letters after he died. Paul saw that even though some people were preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, any preaching that was happening was spreading God's kingdom. Paul had the ability to see what God might be doing because of his discouraging circumstances. And this showed the maturity of his faith. I mean, can you imagine? You're Paul, right? And you're out there and you're preaching to people and you get thrown in jail. I mean, who among us would have the faith to not just give up and say, oh, that's it. My life's over with. My ministry's over with. If we believe that God is in control, the frustration we feel in our circumstances is shifted to a hope of what God is doing with them. Like Paul, we can believe there is a greater story. Remember, last week it was a bigger story, giving it to his son. This one is a greater story. A greater story happening, that we may be where we are because we are playing an unknown part. Because Paul did not see himself as the center of his story, he could look beyond his own comfort, I'm supplying that word there, and his own success, and see his imprisonment in the context of God's bigger picture. Ironically, the biggest reach Paul would have was because of his imprisonment, and would continue long after he died. It was Paul's submission to God's plan that allowed him not only to yield to his circumstances, but to do what he could in the midst of them. The way he spent his time in prison would turn out to be the legacy of Paul's life. I mean, when you think of Paul, you think his epistles. You think his letters. And again, I didn't take the time to look up the scripture, but, you know, the scripture tells us that, you know, he was pretty pathetic, his personal presentation. Most people view him as pretty diminutive, kind of frail, didn't have a good speaking voice, but his letters were weighty and powerful, the scripture says. So I do want to spend a little bit of time in just one of them, because the prison epistles are in addition. You know, in the book of Acts, we see the close out of the book of Acts, and he's under house arrest. So what I'm going to tell you about these next four books are in addition to his house arrest. So he spends a good amount of his ministry in what we call house arrest. And that's kind of like, you know, you can't really come and go, but it's not necessarily the rats picking at your ankles, right? It's a little bit more comfortable, and you have a little bit more leeway with a couple more people in there. But the bona fide prison epistles, that's where the rats are, right? The dungeon. And maybe a guard, maybe a visitor a week, who knows? The prison epistles are the whole book of Ephesians, the whole book of Philippians, the whole book of Colossians, and the whole book of Philemon. Now, Philemon is not a large book, but the other ones are pretty weighty and pretty important to the Christian life. Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. I just want to look at one passage from Ephesians in chapter 6. If you have your Bible, you can turn to this. In chapter 6, verses 18, interesting, he starts it this way. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. One of the things that he does in prison is pray. And then his prayers take this form. And for me, he wrote letters to people so that they would pray for him. Look, listen to this. That utterance may be given to me. Meaning, here I am in this dungeon. That I would find my voice here. And he did find his voice there in the way of letter writing. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. He knew he was going to have a voice there. And I'm sure he didn't mean just audibly there. Open my mouth through this letter writing. Open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And if there's any books that are about the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the ages is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? Colossians? Right? Ephesians? Colossians? Philippians? That I might make known the mystery of the gospel, for which he says this, I am an ambassador in bonds. I'm chained to the wall here. I am an ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Wow. when Terry preaches in a little while, there's going to be a heavy emphasis on this idea of not being shy, not being ashamed of the gospel. The servant is not above his master, and the pupil is not above his teacher. If they said bad things about Jesus, they're going to say bad things about us, but we need to be bold. Back to our text here. By writing to friends who were planting churches all over Turkey, Rome, and Greece, Paul assumed his letters would encourage the growth of those particular churches. But long after those churches died, Paul's letters would encourage millions of churches that Paul couldn't see. And again, there's that enduring aspect of this. You know, we speak our words and our words fall to the ground. I mean, let's say even if Paul was successful in being a good orator and he gathered hundreds of thousands of people to hear him, it wouldn't compare to what has been left for us. Paul's letters would encourage millions of churches that Paul couldn't see. This reveals to us that the impact we are having could be different and bigger than we might imagine. Our impact involves not just the people we see, but the people we don't see who will be touched by the life that we live. Remember last week we talked about, you know, the guy who witnessed Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Nobody remembers his name, but everybody remembers Alexander Solzhenitsyn. But it's because of the other guy. Certainly, Paul had no idea how many people would be changed and affected by his prison letters that ended up filling the New Testament. In the same way, we have no idea what person or circumstance we might impact that will set off a movement of God's grace. When we trust that we are where God wants us, even if that is not where we would have chosen to be, our response allows us to be used for God's glory, and we have no idea what even our small actions might accomplish that will stretch beyond what we know or even see. You and I are here on earth because you are part of the eternal story that God is writing. That perspective will either shape your life or be something that you fight against when you brush up against circumstances you don't want. Not being the center of your own story gives you freedom to look through your circumstances to what God may be doing in them. The circumstances you are facing might be positioning you to reach people you will never see. Paul's imprisonment allowed him not only to write letters, but to experience a suffering and a humility that became evident in his writings. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. That's how David couches it. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your law. You, in faithfulness, have afflicted me. David writes all those things in Psalm 119. Paul was experiencing that same thing. A suffering and a humility that became evident in his writings. Paul's words were fueled by the humility that Paul had lived. God never wastes any of our circumstances. And it's just not the highlight reel, or what we think is the highlight reel. And we often discover in retrospect that the way he used them. Paul saw that his difficult circumstances were not an accident, and he allowed God to use them. You know, here's, you know, really, Lori, you're going to allow God, right? We're Calvinists here. We know better, even if she doesn't, right? We'll forgive her for that, right? For whatever God wanted them to produce. Paul's experience teaches us that all of our circumstances are for a reason, and we should do more than just pray our way out of them. We can see through the Bible that God's purpose in our circumstances might be much more than we can see. Paul did what he could in jail, and he trusted that God was using his life for a greater purpose. You know, I was reading Job again the other day, and Job has this passage where he says, I feel like I'm in stocks. You know, I think of the Western, the cowboys, right? Or the New England, where, you know, you're out in the public square and you can't move is the idea. That's how Job felt. And yet how many people have been blessed by reading the book of Job? We should do more than just pray our way out of them. And I'm sure Job prayed many times to get out of the stocks where your hands and your feet are stuck. We can see through the Bible that God's purpose in our circumstances might be much bigger than we can see. Paul did what he could, what he could in jail and trusted that God was using his life for a greater purpose. We can thank God that Paul wrote letters of encouragement and challenge and blessing to his friends because they were eventually included in the envelope that is the New Testament. All right. Here we go. Next hour, Terry will be talking about bold proclamations that we are to make. When you encounter difficult circumstances, is your first prayer, get me out of this circumstance? Or show me what I need to learn through this circumstance? I'm not so sure it matters which one comes first, as long as at some point we get to the second one. And as long as the only thing is not just the first one. I'm not so sure that in the early part of Acts when Paul is in prison there and he has all these other disasters, whether it's being shipwrecked or being stoned, that there was an element of prayer to get out of those circumstances. I'm not saying that that's wrong, but show me what I need to learn through this circumstance. These are for you, by the way, just prompting you here. Number two, in most cases, do you see yourself as the main character, the center of your story? Remember, David had to hand off to his son. Or as a supporting character, remember, a thread in the mosaic that God is building, just a thread, a supporting character in God's bigger story. And then number three, is any part of you afraid? This is an interesting question, that if you embrace the message in this passage, that God will somehow allow more difficult circumstances in your life. If I really own up to this and I say, Lord, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Gee, well, why not have something better, right? More affliction is better than the affliction that I have. That's a challenging question. Is there any part of you afraid that if you embrace this, and again, forgive Lori, she's allowing God to do something again. God's going to have his way. That God will bring, let's put it more Calvinistically, more difficult circumstances into your life. Why or why not? Who wants to go first in leading a commentary and discussion about any of these matters? Yes, Gary. Oh. Yeah. How about Jesus? Nevertheless, you know, if it be your will, take this cup from me. I mean, that's, yes. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. Continue on. Yep. Paul prayed, you know, that he would remove this thorn in the flesh, and we don't know the sequence of time during those circumstances, but, you know, he did come to learn that that was a messenger from Satan that kept him humble. Yep. Yeah, Terry. Yeah, that's, you know, I talked a bit about calling and things of that sort. I think that's 1 Corinthians 10, where we have different stations in our life. And sometimes our stations change and sometimes they don't. And station is similar to, you know, a condition. Maybe a 2 Corinthians. Somebody else, put your hands up on any one of these. Yeah, Alan.
Yeah, I don't want to. I always go back to my stroke. And I remember for the first week I was in the hospital, I was praying, just get me out of here. This is such an inconvenience. And finally, it came, I realized that, you know, well, you're not going to go anywhere. So I tried my best to be a good patient and share with people. What can I learn through this? And I learned humility, for one thing. But it also ties to number three. And then for about 4 or 5 months, I was afraid.
Yeah.
Looking over my shoulder, what is the next stroke going to be? But,
right.
But, if I have another stroke, I have another stroke.
Right.
I'm not worried about it anymore.
Right, right, right. The condition that I have has a lot of bad outcomes for a lot of people. So that's always kind of there. So similar to yours. Anybody else? Or even, you know, that whole idea that not only are you going to have something bad, but, you know, God is going to help you have a more refined and glorified life because you're going to be further refined, I guess is a good word, through these challenges or circumstances or changes that you have. Yeah, I'm struggling figuring out where I'm finding that, Terry. No, that's not the story. Maybe it's Romans. It's Romans 7.
And while you're looking, number three, I thought was interesting. Because there is a gospel in the United States that says if you eat enough vitamins and exercise enough, you will live forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the truth is, we all get old.
Yep.
And as we age, we have more and more issues, more and more problems. As long as you're alive, you're going to be working towards more weakness and more struggle.
Yes. Yes.
And yet God says the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what you have to look for.
Yes. And the first part of that is very prevalent in our culture. I saw a meme the other day, and it had a whole list of different inventions, and it said, the guy who invented the treadmill died at 48 of a heart attack. And it just goes, the whole list goes down of all of the different guys who were aiming for this very thing, this fountain of youth, so to speak, and, you know, didn't really work out in their lives at all. Yeah, thank you for that. Okay. Yep. Thank you, Terry. Yeah, there you go. Remain in the place of your calling, starting in verse 17, right? God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Anyone called an uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. We know that aspect of it. Let every man abide in the same calling in which he was called. Are you called being a servant? This is the verse. Care not for it. If you may be free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. You're free in Christ. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. You're bought with a price. Do not be the servants of men. How's this capstone verse, brethren? Let every man, in whatever state he is called, there abide with God. So there's a contentment there. Doesn't mean never seek a promotion, right? Or never move or anything like that. It just speaks to this issue of, you know, God is sovereign, and particularly when we have setbacks like that, we like these here, we ought to be able to see them through a different lens. Anybody else on any of these? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for these reminders here. And thank you if for nothing else here, that it will help us to be careful readers of our Bibles, the word that you have given to us. And just this reminder here that, wow, of all things, that prison would be the means of advancing the gospel. Father, so help us to see that every circumstance in our life. Help us to be able to embrace. Lead us towards further embrace. Help us to remember the words of John the Baptist, that he must increase and we must decrease. However painful it may be, we ask that you would make it so. In the name of Jesus, amen.